Chapter 193.
Oh, this is all very exciting. Can I go on one of the guided tours, please?
Llewellyn says, and Cullen quickly switches her bowl of stew with his, wincing a little when something vaguely purple floats to the top of the bowl he just switched with. He's going to kill Varric for telling her about the mystery meat stew. Because of course she'd be curious enough to want to try it. No. Maker's breath. Why did he let Dorian and Bull, and Cassandra and Leliana and Josephine and Rylan and half of his entire bloody staff bully him into coming? This is why he looks stressed and haggard, Dorian, Cullen mentally thinks. This is exactly why. Llewellyn looks around the hanged man, possible literal stars in her eyes, as various semi-conscious patrons shamble around like the undead.
Amazing! It's so dirty and smelly and warm, Llewellyn says.
That's what I thought too, Meryl says from her other side. I never thought I'd get used to it.
I forgot the free marches weren't wet, Llewellyn says. I miss the cold now. I don't think I could have started over all by myself in Kirkwall. Wow.
I didn't think I'd be able to either, Meryl says. I didn't think I'd make a good keeper either, but here I am.
Llewellyn turns to Meryl. The stars are actually in her eyes now. Cullen rubs his temples and wishes to anyone listening that he didn't have to be here.
Cole would have loved it here, Llewellyn sighs. Everything is so interesting.
It's for the best the boy didn't come, Blackwall says, and Cullen agrees. They don't need Cole being Cole in Kirkwall. It's bad enough that Sarah disappeared as soon as their ship landed to find some of her friends, as she calls them. Cullen dreads having to report all of this back. Rather, he dreads the way Leliana's spies are going to report this back. Either he's going to be laughed at or yelled at, and he's not looking forward to either. Cullen also didn't think he'd ever go back to Kirkwall, but here he is, and he's honestly surprised to find it doesn't hurt as much as he thought it would. It could be, Cullen thinks, with no small measure of wry amusement. The company he keeps these days, though. Llewellyn and Meryl continue to chatter, impossibly chipper and bright for the dingy and dank, mildly mildewy interior of the hanged man. Llewellyn leans over to whisper to him,
"No one was actually hanged here, right?"
"Oh, I know the answer to this one," Meryl whispers back, tugging at Llewellyn's arm. "It's an expression." Cullen mainly focuses on ignoring the way the mystery meat stew bubbles on its own and fishes most of the more suspicious mystery meats out of Llewellyn's bowl while she isn't looking. Blackwall claps him on the shoulder. Blackwall brought actual, honest-to-God field rations. He doesn't have to put up with this problem. Cullen doesn't know why he didn't think of that. He lived here. He should have thought of that.
Cullen, can I go to the Undercity with Meryl to sneak into Hawk's estate?
No, absolutely not, Cullen says. Llewellyn gives him a disappointed look, and he's not falling for this one. Maybe that's why the others sent him. Thus far, he's the only one to successfully refuse her something. Llewellyn then turns to Meryl, and they start whispering conspiratorially. Cullen was not a Templar for half his life to miss the way people whisper in order to plan escapes. Cullen turns to Blackwall, who signals some of their scouts to warn the city guard that the Herald of Andraste might possibly wander off into the more unsavory parts of the city. More unsavory than Lowtown's mildly respectable parts. Cullen does not envy Aveline's headache by the time Llewellyn is through with Kirkwall.
Thank you.
Let me guess, Cullen says, without looking up. It's Cassandra. There's only one person Cullen knows who's capable of being aggressively quiet and polite in the way they scrape their armored boot on the floor. You don't like something about Varric. Cassandra pauses in the open doorway before letting out a soft snort and letting it fall closed. He hears the slight scrape of wood on stone, and he'll probably get that fixed sometime after they finish clearing the rubble to make a hospital wing. Maybe. There are always more important things than his slightly crooked east-facing door. She's been sitting next to him all afternoon, every day for the past week, Cassandra says, sitting in the chair by the training dummy Cullen's been using for knife practice, whenever the paperwork makes him honestly consider assigning himself to mountain pass patrols for a few months at a time. It's suspicious. He's not going to corrupt her to the wonders of whatever you're thinking of, Cullen says, reaching up without looking to accept the packet of new documents. One of, he checks the seal, Josephine's runners just sent him. I think he's teaching her dwarven idioms, Cassandra says. This will not go well. Does anything in any of our lives ever go well? Cullen asks. Name one time something in our combined lives went well. I once saved the Divine's life, Cassandra says. And now you're here, Cullen snorts. There are worse places to be for both of us. They both ignore the hidden meanings behind that. Or the not-so-hidden ones, Cullen supposes. There are worse things for her to be learning than idioms, Cullen says. Really, this can only help us, broadening her cultural horizons, or something. Ask Josephine about it. I still don't like it. You just don't like him. That also. Cassandra picks out a random book from the various strewn piles of things around his office. People come, and they go, but they tend to leave their things behind, which is confusing, because sometimes they're for him, sometimes they're for Josephine or Liliana. It's as if his office is also the post, and lost and found at once. Cullen finds he doesn't half mind, because at least this way he gets some sort of clue for when he needs to make himself scarce. It is never a good sign when peacock feathers come into play.